Let the praises of his people. The Bible said, let the praises of his people rise up. You want to be in good standing with God? I want to be in good standing with God. The Bible said, let the praises of his people praise him. Let heaven and earth hear his praises this morning. Don't say, okay, there's only a few of us. Your praise is going all the way to heaven. If I were you, I'd praise him with all your heart because you got things you're wanting him to do for you. Amen? And he deserves it anyway. He deserves our praise and our love. Thank you, Lord. Responsive reading this morning. You all read with us. Marilyn picked out Psalm 102. How many are ready to read today? I'm not sure. See that? How many are ready to read today? There we go. See? Let it out. Let it out. Be free, everybody. Be free. You're not in bondage. Nobody's going to get mad at you. We all love each other, I hope. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. That's right. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever in the remembrance of your name to all generations. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their what? Their what? Their prayers. He won't despise your prayer. My God, you should be praying to him all the time. You should be really talking to God. I'm not crazy. I'm trying to get you to be blessed and in a place of blessedness. Can I have an amen? Yeah, hallelujah. You got to understand what the word says and how to make it work in your life. It's not a machine, but he tells us the way to do it. He's got a pattern. Anybody ever built anything? You had a pattern to build it, and you followed the pattern, and you built it beautifully. God has given us a pattern, church. I want this strong church to be on fire for God, up for God. I want to see God in everybody's life. I'm not crazy. The Bible said we should have that. Let your joy be full. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. I'm excited this morning because we're going to talk about the Word of God. Are you all ready for that? I hope so. I've had a good time putting it together. You know, when I put the sermon together, I'm talking to God. Talking to my wife, too. That's second closer. But I'm talking to God. And even when I'm, like, I have these little solitaire. Anybody ever play solitaire on your computer? Tell the truth, the whole truth, or nothing but the truth. I'm playing the game on solitaire, but my mind is calm. I'm not thinking about the game. I'm thinking about my sermon. I'm looking at my words next to me, and I'm thinking about praying for each and every one of you. I'm praying for each. I want each and every one of you to be blessed more than you ever thought possible, because that's God. And when one person is blessed, all of us get blessed. When one person receives, we all receive, because we all build our faith and we all see the joy. And I want joy in all your hearts. Thanksgiving is coming. I want you to have a blessed day. I want you to have a blessed day because God is with you. Amen. Not the world, but God is with you. Have a blessed day. Whoever you're with, if you're with 2 people, 8 people, 10 people, lay out. Just enjoy the day. Don't worry about who's the president or who's the governor or who's anything or what's going on. Have a day. Let me tell you, because there'll be an hour in a day where you won't be able to talk to those people anymore. We lost somebody very special this week. I'll talk about that later. And he was a great man. His name was Danny Civitello. His name was Dante, but we all call him Danny. And I love him, and I love talking to him, but God took him home the other day, so I can't talk to him. So the day will come where all this nonsense that we're fighting about will be simply nonsense. Enjoy each other. Enjoy the love. Enjoy the company. Enjoy God. Can I have an amen? Amen. Lily's first time here. She probably thinks I'm nuts. First time she saw me, we were at the Blue County Diner. So this is all new, Lily. Okay, we have our quiz. Yay! Before Jesus was arrested, he gathered with his disciples in a house. While there, a certain woman anointed his head with oil. Whose house were they gathered in? Was it A, Martha? Was it Simon Peter's house? Or was it Simon the leper's house? Simon the leper. So, in whose house were they gathered? And how many think Martha? A. How many think B, Simon Peter? Can I get a C? Anybody say Simon the leper? Matthew 26:6. Jesus was in the house of, tell him Chuck, Simon the leper. Why did John baptize the people who came to him? Why did John baptize the people who came to him? Was it A, because they accepted Jesus as their Messiah? Or was it B, to cleanse them of guilt? Or C, for the remission of sins? Why did John baptize the people who came to him? A, because they accepted Jesus as their Messiah. Anybody? How about B, to cleanse them of guilt? Anybody? Or C, for the remission of sins? Anybody? John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Very good. There you go. Thank you. Okay, I've got this one. You better get it right, guys. You better get this one right. Pay attention. Solomon. We had a wonderful Bible study a couple of weeks ago about Solomon. If you were there, you would have enjoyed it because we talked about Solomon, the man. And this is Solomon. Solomon compares his love's hair. Don't look at my hair. He compares his love's hair to a strand of scarlet. A. Or B. Rods of gold. Or C. Flock of goats. And I had to come up with something. Solomon compares his love's hair to how many things? Strands of scarlet. A. Can I get B? Rods of gold. Or C, flocks of gold, flocks of goats. Song of Solomon 4:1. It says, Solomon says, your hair, which one did you say, Gene? Did you need to pick one? This is multiple choice, Gene. Gene, this is multiple choice. You just pick one that you think, you know, just. Your hair is like a flock of goats. If you came to the Bible study and heard about Solomon, maybe you'd understand. But listen, goats were very valuable in those days. Goats and their lambs were very valuable. So her hair was like a flock of goats. That was a compliment. I got a bonus question because I knew that one was fun. How many fish did Simon Peter pull up in his net after Jesus told them to cast the net on the right side of the boat? You remember that story? They fished all night and they didn't catch one fish. So they're all seeing, and Jesus said, hey, throw the net on that side. They said, but the sun's up. Just throw the net on that. Okay, so they threw the net on the right side. How many fish did they catch? Was it A, 212, B, 153, or C, 333 fish? How many think it was 212 fish? A, how many 153 fish? How many thought they caught 333 fish? John 21:11. How many fish? They caught 153 fish. Even the bonus question didn't work out well, eh? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. God is good, amen? Thank you, Lord. Last week we talked about Jacob, and it was something I was interesting to me. Nobody came up to me after we talked about Jacob and Leah and Rachel, and nobody said, Pastor, he married his niece. Those were his niece. Both of them were his nieces that he married. But back in that day, you got to remember the bloodlines, and you got to remember how things were different and what God allowed. And Jacob and Rachel had a very important, very famous son. Anybody remember his name? Joseph. Jacob makes the coat of many colors and gives it to his son Joseph. Joseph sold into slavery, goes to Egypt, and saves the whole Hebrew nation because he's in Egypt. Amen. But that's the same Jacob. But that was interesting that nobody said anything to me about that he married his nieces. I thought that was kind of interesting. In Jude 1:11, we have a warning to false teachers who come against the church. When you read Jude, you'll know, and I'll get to that. In fact, let me do that right now before we start. I want to read you these. Jude 1:11. It says, thank you, Lord. That's John. Everybody got quiet. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. That's what he says there. And then he also says this in 1:16. Jude says this: there are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great and swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual people who cause, ready, division, not having the Spirit. And those are two scriptures out of the book of Jude, which is very easy to read. If you read it, it'll probably take you all up 6 minutes. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to read that. And the rebellion of Korah. Anybody ever hear about the rebellion of Korah? We're going to get that. It's very interesting. We're going to make it work for today, too. Thank you, Lord. And Moses wrote this story. Say that with me. Moses wrote the story. About Moses wrote it. Who wrote it? So if Moses wrote the story, he's telling us something that actually happened. Amen? He's telling somebody, they're writing it down, Moses was there. So this story isn't secondhand, it's firsthand. And one, you must believe this. Zippy, if you believe one thing, believe in the God of the Bible, and believe that everything in it is possible with God. One must believe in the God of the Bible to believe in His miracles. You must believe Him first before you can believe in the miracles, because some of the miracles sound crazy, but you must believe that. It's the impossible, and that's the truth. That's the truth of the God. When you believe in the God of the Bible, you begin to believe in the things that are impossible, because what's impossible with God? Nothing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now let me give you a little thing about Korah, K-O-R-A-H. He was a Levite, a member of the Levite tribe. River water. It keeps flowing out there. The Levites were a part of the group assigned to guard and transport the most sacred portions of the sanctuary. Let me tell you again what he was. He was a member of the Levite tribe, and this is what he was assigned to do. God assigned the Levites to guard and transport the most sacred portions. What kind?
Sacred.
The most sacred portions of the sanctuary. He was not satisfied with his status and desired also a share in the priesthood. That's what we're going to find out about. That's Korah. And it's important that you understand that. And as we read, you're going to also understand that the Hebrew people, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They actually, he saves them, he takes them out of Egypt, and they want to go. And what were the Hebrew people in Egypt? Anybody? They were slaves. And they wanted to go back to slavery. That's what we're going to find out. And we're also going to read about Korah. Korah gets 250 people together, not unbelievers. Trust me, when we read this, understand, these are not unbelievers. These are Hebrew people. And it said some of the princes. So these are Hebrew people of fine blood, with family bloodlines. These are people who knew God, knows the word of God. And these are people that Korah gathered together and united them against who? Moses. He got 250 people united together. We're going to get into it. This is exciting. And I have a question for you. It's rhetorical, but Gene, you don't have to answer. Just kind of thing. Has God mellowed? You know, you're going to read this story and you're going to say, whew. And I wonder, has God mellowed? Is it because Jesus is at his right hand now? And he's always interceding for us because he's our advocate? Because I'm telling you what, the God in the Old Testament? Mm-mm. So that's an interesting question for you to think of. These were Hebrew men of high esteem. The Bible mentions these 250 for a reason. Separates them from the others. We're going to read from, and I'll read for you because I'll skip around, but if you want to write down, we're going to read from the book of Numbers, chapter 16. This is where this story lies about Korah. And how long was it taken? How long was it planned? When you read about Korah, when I read about it, I want you to think about this. The 250 people that he had with him, and they assembled. How long did it take? It had to take longer than a week, amen? It had to take longer than 2 weeks or three. He assembled 250 people, united with him, gathered with him, ready to follow him. How long did it take? How long were they upset? How long were the disagreements? Because the Bible says, don't even let the root of bitterness grow. Understand that today, this story is today. It said, do not even let the root of bitterness grow. What does that mean? If you've got a disagreement or something's bugging you, take care of it now. While it's a little tiny thing that you can step on, and don't let the root grow, and don't let, well, I don't know why the pastor didn't let me do that. I don't know why this person said that, or the pastor should. Don't let it happen. If you got something we want to talk about it when we can fix it. And that's what happened. How long did it take for him to get 250 of smart Hebrew people of a good bloodline to follow him together, united? How long? Think about that. We can't let that happen in our church. No church should let that happen, but I just want to be on right. How many of you want to be right with God? I want to be so right with God that it's just impossible to miss. That's me. On the 15th day of the second month, the whole community began complaining. You know that? On the 15th day of the second month, the whole community, the Hebrew nation, Moses takes them out. After, and this is after, they're starting to complain on the 15th day of which month? The second month. And say it with me, after. Say after. The pillars of cloud and the fire by night. Remember when he pulled them out of Egypt and they followed the pillar of clouds in the daytime and the fire at night to give them light? After. Say it again, after. After he parted the Red Sea. They're complaining after he parted the Red Sea. Amen? Say it again. After the manna from heaven, when God said he fed the manna from heaven, it come down and they had it every day. Say it again. After he got water from the rock, they had nothing to drink. Moses takes the cane and hits the rock, and what comes out of the rock? Water. After that, one more time, after. After the quail. They said they were tired of the manna. It was, I'm tired of this. Can God give us something better? And God gave them quail. Anybody know what a quail is? It's a cute little bird that tastes really good. You can fry it, you can boil it, you can do it, and it's good. After he did that, they were complaining. It says when you read it, they preferred to be slaves. These were not unbelievers, folks. These were the Hebrew people coming after Moses and his brother. What's his brother's name? Aaron. Phew, good job. And you're also going to read when I read with you that Moses fell on his face. He didn't trip. I'm not trying to be funny. He didn't trip. He didn't worship these people. When he prayed, it said it over and over in this one chapter. He fell on his face. His prayer was so deep in his heart, so powerful, that the only place he felt he could be talking to God was on his face. Not even on his knees, it said he felt, because he felt the need to pray so strongly for what he was praying for, that the Bible says over and over again, he fell on his face. Everybody ever get like that? Maybe sometime you should try it on your knees. Sometime you really think, and you think you're the biggest, greatest prayer you ever had, then get on your face. If that's what it takes, because it's between you and who? It's not me. Don't look at me. I can pray for you, but you pray to God for you. And Moses got it, fell, and it says it over and over again. He didn't trip. He wasn't worshiping me, and he just didn't fall on his face. When somebody said something to him, they said, and then Moses fell on, it means he went and prayed, and he fell on his face and prayed because he had no strength in him to stand or kneel because it meant so much to him. You got a prayer that means so much to you, it's time that you get connected to God. I'm praying that you do. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Okay, now that we got all that taken away, let's go. Let's go on our journey. Today, it said, now Korah, the son of Istat, the son of Kohath, it talks about, he's the son of Levi. He said he took men. What did he take? Men. 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown, men of a good bloodline. Amen? These are the people he had. He gathered them together against Moses and Aaron, and he said to them, listen to this, he said, you take too much upon yourself, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? He's saying, who are you, Moses? We're all holy people. We're all Hebrew people. We know the word. Who are you to become boss? Who made you boss?
God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So when Moses heard it, guess what he did? He fell on his face. Thank you. And he spoke to Korah. And he said, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his all and who is holy. Who is his and who is holy. And will cause him to come near to God. He tells him that tomorrow morning. He said he fell on his face and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy and will cause him to come near God. And he tells him what to do. And then he goes to verse 8, which is interesting, because he takes Korah aside. Understand what Moses is doing. He takes Korah aside now. He wants to talk to Korah. And he says to him in verse 8, you'll read it, said, then Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them? You see, he's saying, Korah, you're a Levite. God has lifted you up. Is that a little thing? Is that, why are you, what's going on? You're a Levite. You have special place with the Lord. What is it? And he's also, in the same time that he's asking him, he's actually chastising him. So if you read it both ways, you can read it that he was asking him, or you can read it that he was chastising him, which would sound like, hear now, you son of Levi, is it a small thing to bring you near to himself to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and stand before the congregation to serve them, and that he has brought you near to himself? You and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you? And are you seeking the priesthood too? He said, therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him? Whew, that's pretty powerful. First he starts asking him, and then he starts chastising him. So what are you doing? You're a Levite, and you're not coming against me, Moses is saying. You're coming against God. When you do things in the church, when you do things and you start fighting amongst each other or complaining about your pastor or not coming to your pastor, you're not doing it against me, you're doing it against God, amen? Because if we come together, we could fix the problem in a second. If there's an issue, we could talk about it. You might not always agree with the answer, amen? You might not see it that way, but at least we'll have an answer, and we'll have peace. That's what makes the church strong. I want a strong church. Amen. Hallelujah. I do. It gets better now. And Moses sent and called to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. But they said, listen to what these people said. We will not come up. They disobeyed Moses. He said, and they said, this is what I told you now. They said, it's a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey. What? He said, they brought us up out of where? Out of the land flowing with milk and honey. What were they in Egypt? Say it again.
Slaves.
They were slaves. But you brought us up out of, there might have been milk and honey in Egypt, but they weren't getting it. And then he said, you brought us to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us. Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of the fields and the vineyards. Wow. These were not unbelievers. These were the part of the family of Reuben. Anybody know Reuben? And Reuben, that's Jacob. And he had a son named Reuben. And what did Reuben do to Joseph? Sold him where? Into slavery. These are Reubenites. And then it says in verse 15, listen to this. Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them. Moses was very what? So it's okay to be a little upset once in a while, amen? And now listen to this in verse 16. This gets exciting. Moses said to Korah, notice he goes back to Korah. Tomorrow you and all your company be present before the Lord. Everybody, you and they as well as Aaron. Let each of us take censers and put incense in it and carry it. And each of you bring his censer before the Lord. He's telling them what to do. He said 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer. And he goes on to say this in verse 20. Listen to this. He tells him what to do now. We go to verse 20. And it said, and the Lord spoke to Moses. Who spoke to Moses? The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, Ready for this? How many think God is mellow? Listen to this, God. Separate yourself from among the congregation that I may consume them in a moment. That's God. He's saying, right? Separate. Just get out of the way. I'm going to consume them all. That's the God in the Old Testament. That you be thankful Jesus is sitting at his right hand, because I'm sure there were times he looked over and Jesus said, no, not now, Dad. That's it. That's all he's won. God told Moses. Moses didn't tell God that. That is so powerful. Separate. The Lord spoke to Moses in there, separate yourself from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. Then what did Moses do, everybody? He fell on his face. Then they both fell on their faces and they said, oh God, the God of spirit of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation? Whew. What's Moses saying to God? No, Lord, you can't destroy the whole congregation for one man or two men or three men. So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So God is saying, God, listen, understand that. Please write this down on your piece of paper, put it on the refrigerator. God listens. When Moses and Aaron prayed and they asked him that, God said, he stopped and he said, well, separate everybody from those people. Did you tell everybody to get away from those people? Get away from their tents, get away from everything. But God listens. You need to put that on your refrigerator. God listens. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, get them away. Depart now to the tents of the wicked men. Touching nothing, he said. Don't touch anything of theirs. Don't even leave. Don't touch, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So everybody got told them to get away. So 28. Moses is talking again. He says, and he's saying to the people now, they're all waiting. And Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works. For I have not done them by my own will. So what's Moses telling him? Said, now you listen and pay attention to what God's about to do. And don't look at me because I didn't do it, but you pay attention. And he said, this is interesting how he puts this. This is very interesting. If these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. Isn't that interesting what he says? He said, what's going to happen in a minute, if these people die a natural cause, if something like that happens, then God didn't send me, because that's not what God is saying. He said, if somebody just dies because he was old and he dies, he said, if they die of natural causes, then he said, then God hasn't sent me. But, say that with me, but if the Lord creates a new thing, a what? Woo! And the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. It's not funny. It's not funny. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down to the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. Rejected who? Not Moses. Rejected the Lord. And I wrote this in my Bible. I hope you write in your Bible, but I wrote, has God mellowed today? Has God mellowed? I think, how many times God could do this? Are you ready? It came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households and all the men with Korah, with all their goods. So they and all those who were with them went down alive into the pit of the earth, closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Wow. That's God, folks. That's God. And it's not over yet. And it said, then all Israel who were around them fled. No, I'm sorry. I missed it. Then it said, then all Israel who were around them fled in their cry, at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And in verse 35, and a fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. The earth splits open, these people fall in, the earth closes up, and then just right after that, a fire comes, not a lightning bolt, but fire comes down and consumes all 250 people who were carrying incense to God. Whew! Are you kidding me? You're telling me that God hasn't mellowed, because I'm just, every time I read this, I'm thinking, whoa, the earth, that's why I say you got to believe God's miracles, amen? All the things we read about, wow. That's powerful stuff. Fire came down from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. Then he tells them what to do with the censers and how to take them out of the fire and separate the fire and make an altar from the incense, from the censers, because they were holy, because they prayed with them. But could you imagine that today? Could you imagine seeing anything like that today? Anybody? Whew. Imagine that. I can't part the river. I can't part the Housatonic River. There's no fire. There's no clouds. I can't feed you manna. I can't give you all the things that Moses gave them. Yet they didn't believe. Yet they complained. They complained toward God. Got angry and told Moses, "Move over. I'm done with this." And Moses went on his face and he prayed for them. You pray for people who are lost. You're called to pray for sinners. You see somebody doing something in their life, and you got people who you just think this is real. You need to get on your knees. Sometimes maybe you need to fall on your face. Like, don't take these words and don't just take them to heart. He fell on his face. He said, "I got no energy to stand and pray." It's not a joke with God. Amen. This praying is not a joke to God. And when you saw that, how many think that was it, right? If you're standing there and you see all these people go into a wall, into a hole, and the earth close up, and you see fire come down and destroy 250 people, that should be the end of it, amen? No more complaining. You see, if I could do that, there'd be no more complaining. Not. May I continue? Verse 41. You ready for this, church? After everything that they saw, here's what it said. On the next day, all the congregation cried, and the children of Israel complained against Moses. The next day. 250 people burned, psh, gone. All the other people in the hole, gone. And they go to Moses the next day complaining. And they said, "You have killed the people of the Lord. You have killed them. Moses made the earth split open? No. Moses sent the fire? No. Who killed the people?" But they're complaining to Moses, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." Now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron that they turned toward the tabernacle of meeting. And suddenly the cloud covered it. Listen to this, guys. The cloud covered the tabernacle and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the Lord. And what did God say? Has he mellowed? What does God say? "Get out of my way. I'm going to destroy them all now." That's what he says. He's saying, "Just get out of the way. Moses, Aaron, get out of the way. That's it. I've had enough. That's all I can stand. I can't stand no more." How many times do you think God has felt that way since that way till today? All the things we're allowing, all the things we're doing in churches, all these churches, building churches, nothing to do with the Bible, all building all churches on somebody else's idea, somebody else's prophet, all these ideas, we're going to allow this, or we're going to allow, really, God's sitting up there saying, really? And Jesus is holding his hand back. "Don't do it, God. Don't do it, Dad." And Jesus, and God says, look at him. And Jesus said, "No, don't do it. I'm their advocate." He tells Moses, "Just get out of the way. Get out of line." It's crazy. What a great story. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from this congregation that I may consume them in a moment." And what did they do? They fell on their faces. They had nothing left. No strength, because they needed to pray. This is the worst of the worst. How many people think, "Oh, this is the worst. Oh, if this something happens and this guy, this is the worst of the worst." It's never. With God, All things are possible, amen. With God, you're trusting God now, amen. If something happening in the world today that's got you upset, if some little thing, like something that you were disappointed with happened maybe like a couple of weeks ago or something that got you a little upset, maybe it's because God wants you to draw closer to Him, amen. And if that's a bad thing, I don't know. If God wants you to draw closer to Him, and if it draws you closer to God, isn't that a great thing? If in all your upset and all your confusion, it causes you to draw closer to God, it's a victory for the Lord and a victory for you. That's where you should be excited. So Moses, they fell on their face. And listen to this, because this is 2020. Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put a fire in it from the altar. Put incense on it and take it quickly to the congregation. And do what? Make atonement for them. You need to pray for other people, other sinners. You need to get on your knees and pray for them. Because God does what? I told you to write it on the refrigerator. God what? Listens. He listens to your prayers. Amen? And He's telling Aaron, we gotta do it. We gotta make an atonement for these sinners. These people who God are ready to done. Then Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran in the midst of the assembly. And already the plague had begun moving among the people. The what? So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people. He prayed for the sinners. He prayed for these people who God was angry at. He got down on his face and prayed for them. And God does what? He listens. And he stood between the dead and the living, so the plague was stopped. The plague was what? Stopped. Now these who died in the plague were 14,700, besides those who died in the Korah incident. So Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting, for the plague had stopped. One chapter. One incredible chapter. We just read one chapter, number 16. What a story. And it works today, the same as today. This took time. All this anger against Moses and Aaron, it took time. So somebody let it fester. Other people were gossiping. They were behind the scenes. The pastor said, Moses should do this. Aaron should do this. And they were gossiping. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. And they were drawing a crowd with them and building up an assembly of people who were wrong. People who were sinning against God. And they were doing it. How many see that today? One voice gets 10 voices, gets 20 voices. It doesn't make it right. I don't care if there's 5,000 voices out there. It doesn't make it right. Whatever they're saying doesn't make it right. Whatever they're doing doesn't make it right if it's not according to God. But we see it every day. It takes time. And you let it fester and you let it grow, and then you got a problem. Just like in the church. If somebody's got something against the pastor, I hope you know and I love you all. But we need to talk about it. We need to ask, why would you say this or that or do that? Because we want the church to be one. Somebody said to me today that they were a little upset that they quoted a scripture to me last week. And I went, my heart just was full of joy. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Lift each other up with scripture and lead us with scripture. And we're doing the right thing when we do that. We're supposed to pray for each other. Amen. We're supposed to lift each other up. We're not supposed to let that. I don't know why this person said that. Or did you see that person? Nah, stop it. If something's bothering you, go to the person and say, and let them explain why, and leave it at that. It doesn't always have to be your answer. Amen? But it's got to be God's way and God's answer. We want this church to be a rock. Yes. Not let a spark turn into a flame. Fix each problem. Heal each other. Not even the root of bitterness is allowed to grow. Unity is our strength. Not just for us, but for especially for those who God will send us. If we're in unity in this church, if you've come into this church to build a foundation with us, and we're all in unity together, we're in a good place. For like when Lily comes to our church and sees the foundation, she said, hey, there's something going on here that I'd like to know more. Maybe Zippy said, hey, this is different than any church I've been in. Maybe I'd like to come and hear more about, because I want God in my life. He had God and angels around him this week. He should want that God around him all the time. Not that he doesn't. I'm just saying that's what happens. See, when things happen in your life and you have something God has touched you, you want that touch all the time. If God answered every prayer you had today, right now, if you walked outside and God answered every prayer that you had, whatever your heart's desire is, what do you think would happen tomorrow? Anybody, what do you think would happen tomorrow, John? You'd have something else to pray about. You'd be praying for something else. Oh, I got a new job. Oh, God, I hope I'm good at it. Oh, Lord, help me be good at it. Oh, help me with it. I got a new car. Oh, what if somebody bangs into the car? What am I going to do? Oh, God sent me a mate. Now, how do I do this? Oh, I got a new girlfriend. I have a new boyfriend. No matter what God does and how he answers you, you'll always have another prayer after that. If he gave you every heart's desire today, you walked outside and everything you've been wanting is there it is, you would start tomorrow with more prayers and more need. That's God. That's the important part of this is the day the Lord has made, and I shall what? Rejoice and be glad in it. That's a message from God. God bless you all. Give God praise. It starts and ends with Jesus. I know you were laughing before, but I'm sure that everything we've seen in the world, that all the 60 or 50 or 60 years we lived, 75, whatever, how many old ages you lived, you've seen things where God was up in heaven and he had his arm up ready and Jesus grabbed his arm. Not now, Dad. Because he wants us all to be saved. He wants us all to find him. He wants us all to have that peace that surpasses understanding. He wants us all to have that trust. He wants you to learn how to pray and learn how to believe and learn how to be content in every situation, because that's the secret of life. Because if God answered all your prayers right now, you'd have new ones tomorrow. It never ends with God, because it never ends as long as we're living this life. Something new will be what you want. But that's the God you pray to. That's why you got to trust him today. With all the nonsense we're hearing and all the trouble in the world, you trust God. God will make a way where you don't think there's a way. Follow him. Be that spirit of joy, and that'll change people's hearts. Be that spirit of peace. That will change people's hearts. That's what works. That's what works. When you show them God, it works. It really works, because God does what? God listens. Hallelujah. Now we need to listen to God. You all have this? He did it once on that cross for all. In the Old Testament, they had to sacrifice all the time. They had to keep sacrificing for this, sacrifice for that, this animal, that animal. God came, Jesus came, and he sacrificed once for all, one time. He did it for us. And I always say, and I find it interesting that if you read about it, and he took the bread and he blessed and he broke it and he tore it and said, "This is my body being torn for you," that those people sitting to his left and right didn't know what he was talking about. What's he going to do? And he simply said, "Eat and do this in remembrance of me," in Jesus' name. It's still a cracker, isn't it? Because it's a symbol of what we're doing. Took the wine, poured it into a cup, and he said, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins." That's why I'm doing it. Simply why I'm going to sit at the right hand of my Father. I'm going to be your advocate. I'm going to be your lawyer. And I did this for the remission of your sins. So forgive us, Lord, for any iniquities. Anything, Lord. Anything that separated us from you. Anything that caused any kind of a division, Lord. Bring us closer to you in our fears and our doubts and our worries, Lord. Let him remove them. Because we know you're in charge and you're in control. And that we belong to you, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. Cleanse our hearts and our spirits so we can receive this healing. In Jesus' name this morning we pray. Thank you, Lord. Just give him thanks for a minute, church. Just give him thanks. Talk to God for a minute. Just for a minute. Say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm here today. Mark would like to be here. He can't be here today. We have friends of ours that like to be here that can't be here today, but we're here. Oh, what a great day that we arrived here, that you have allowed this pleasure for us. And if we're here today, Lord, then we're in a place where we can receive blessing. And if we're in a place that we can receive blessings, then we got good things ahead. We got things to hope for. Hope is the anchor that holds the boat right where we need it to be. Hoping in the Lord. That's our strength in the Lord today. In this church, let there be unity beyond what we could ever imagine. Let the strength of this foundation be strong, because God is going to send people to this church, and they need to find it with a foundation that's strong and unshakable. And each and every one of us, in Jesus' name I pray. Give him praise now, church. Let it out.